Let's review for a minute in the Arisa Torah Perek Vav Seif Hey, very quickly to go over, and we're going to learn a little bit from the Geras HaMusar. I think you have the pages I gave you last time from Bissel Salanta Schusa Gimelainu, to learn some Musar called Asar B'Tavis. So we learned again, Vav, Parag Vav, Seif Hey. Yesh Megam Achas Lachayr La'eris Atzad Ruchni Elyon Shepa Adam Shia Osig Muskalitz Kedoshes. The goal of Torah, the objective of learning Torah, is to awaken within the person that higher spiritual content that's within him. Shia Osig Muskalitz Kedoshes. That the person's mind should be preoccupied, constantly filled with muskalas kedoshes, with great and holy thoughts. The asar mishikua behemi gufani, and this will keep the person removed and separated from sinking into the animal part of himself, the physical, the behemi gufani. Shemadavlas karchas niyuso, that weakens, that so much weakens the karch ha'atzmius, that essence of the person. The essence of the person is alakus. When a person learns Torah, the more Torah that a person learns, the more he's involved with alakus, with the muskalos kedoshes, with the holy thoughts of what? Of ruchnis. So you might think that perhaps the only part of Torah that could save a person from sinking into the life of a behemah, the only part of the Torah would be the only part of Torah that could possibly do that is the spiritual part of Torah. Meaning, if you learn something in Torah that's very spiritual, today is the outside from Nosim Braslav, so you learn a piece of Lukut Halachas, learn a Svasemes, person learns Sisrei Torah, deeper Torahs on his level, on her level, whatever that is. So since that is speaking about Elokus, it's talking about God, that will have the effect, and only that kind of Torah will have the effect to pull you out of the Bahamias, of the animal stuff, of the guf. In other words, the Torah of the neshama will pull a person out of the trappings of the body, of the guf, and all the taivas and so on. Since we understand that if a person is learning about Elokus, that learning that connects to the essence of who he is, that would pull him out of that shikua in the Nefesh Bahamas. That's what one would say. But the truth is, and this we're going to see from Bissel Salanta more, Mitzad Magama Shlilis Shel Hasar Meira, Kol Minyanei Torah Shavim. Rav Kook says the truth is that anything you learn in Torah, as far as separating you from the Bahamias, the Nefesh Bahamas, even if you're learning a sugya about Bahamas, Torah itself, every single thing in Torah is a lakus. It's covered. I mean, the nigla of Torah, of course, has coverings. And when you look at the coverings, from that, it appears that this Torah is talking about something of the physical world. So how could that take me out of my own preoccupation with the physical world? The Torah is that the Torah is complete. Completely elokus, from the beginning to end. Everything in Torah Shabbat Sav and Torah Shulta is the Dvar Hashem. And because everything in Torah is Dvar Hashem, even if you're learning something that's talking about something very, very simple, very mundane, very plain in Torah, or you're learning whatever it is in Chayesh Mishpat, in any chelik of Torah, you could be learning in Evin Ezra, in Archaim, whatever it is, in your day, you're learning about the kishkas of a cow. But even that limud is a limud of Teres Hashem, is Dvar Hashem. And because of that, as far as saving a person from sinking deeper and deeper into the world of the Nefesh Bahamas, Rav Kook says, as far as pulling you out of that, everything in Torah is equal. It's all Torah, it's all Dvar Hashem. However, as far as revealing the essence of that light of Hashem and making contact with the deepest part of oneself, Shemarves and Hashem, that satisfies, satiates, fills, quenches the thirst of the soul, that, Rav Kook says, Yesh Hevdol Godol Ben Dover Godol Dover Kodem. There we see that in Torah, Chazal refer to certain things as Dover Godel, and other aspects of Torah are called Dover Kodem. It means in Liman Torah itself, there's that which is called Dover Godel, and there's that part of Torah that's called Dover Kodem. Dover Godel, Chazal tells us, is talking about Ma'isim HaKodem, Ma'isim Bereishis, secrets of Torah, the deeper Pnimius of Torah. And Dover Kodem is the Havayis of Abayin Rav. Dover Kodem means the Nigla, the revealed aspect of Torah. There certainly is a difference. Within each and every person, there's that part of himself that's Godel. The greatest part of the person that's Nista, that's hidden from his own eyes, that is addressed, that's spoken to, and reached more by the part of Torah that's called Godel. Ma'ase Makava, Ma'ase Bereishis, that's Godel. The part of a person that is not as great and as big as that, which is called that part of the person that's cotton. Cotton is the kalapachas, that a person shouldn't be a behemah, you understand? That a person shouldn't slip into a life, God forbid, of bahamias, of being an animal. That a person should be able to be mezgaber and his yetzahara, to be strong and not to do avayos, and that you should be a God-fearing Jew, even though to us that sounds like a pretty big job, and it is, but it's still called Dover Kodem. It's still called the smaller part of a person. And that smaller part of who we are, just to be at least sur meira, not to be bad, not to do bad things. That small part of a person can be taken care of by the part of Torah that's called Dover Kodem, which is the Avayis of Abayin Rav. But it doesn't quench the thirst of the soul. It doesn't satisfy the deepest part of who a Jew is. That is called the Dover Kodem. For that there needs to be Dover Kodem. Which doesn't mean that a person can't live his entire life feeling happy and fine with a Dover Kodem, but there's that very, very, very important part of himself that could be neglected. That requires the Dover Kodem. To get to the godless, the etzem of a person, the limud needs to contain within it the Dover Kodem. To take care of the cockness of the person, that he shouldn't be a cotton, meaning that he shouldn't slip into an Irish guy, the bad stuff. That, the Dover Kodem, that aspect of Torah that's Nigla, that's called Kodem, the Havayis of Abayin Rava, that could take care of that. That could cover that. That's what Rav Kook seems to be saying. Again, everything that we're learning to try to understand is only B'derech Efsher. But that's what it sounds like. Now let's learn from the Geras HaMusar, Rabbi Sol Salanter. You should have three pages, beginning with Shin Nun and Shin Nun Aleph. The first page, Shin Nun, Shin Nun Aleph. Rabbi Sol Salanter And there's a very famous Igeres HaMusar. He's giving us a recipe for success in this avoda of avoiding the schmutz, the dirt, and having slipped a little bit into it, extracting ourselves. And the recipe with Rabbi Yisrael, just like it is with Rav Kook, and just like it is with all the tzaddikim, the recipe is, the ikir is limud haTorah, is the study of Torah. But here, Rabbi Yisrael focuses on that, on the limud, on a way of learning that deals more specifically with the tachluei hayetzer, what he calls the sickness, the illness of the Yetzirah, which, of course, this Igeres HaMusar is a big yisayid in all the sifrei for all the sifrei musar of all of his talmidim, and the talmidim of the talmidim, all the tzaddik and the bali musar, to build upon what Yisrael is talking about here. So on page Shin Nun, there's an asterisk over there. You see, which is Hanizgah Vahayikr. Really, be kedai to hot till in the Holocaust, and we'll have time. And even this is going to take till the end today, probably. But it's very, very important to understand what we're learning in the Ezer Torah. Hanizgah Vahayikr b'shimush refuas haTorah l'tachluei hayetzer hu. The ikr, the main thing, the most important thing in using the curative powers of Torah. Torah has the power to cure. It's a sam chayim. It's a drug that gives life. So the ikir in using the Torah as a manual, so to speak, for good health. We're not talking here about good health, good physical health, but good health in fighting against the darker impulses inside of us. This would become the battle cry of the Bali Musa, that when a person knows Maras Nafsho, the bitterness of his own life, and he's struggling with a particular Aveira, then the Ikir is to learn the Torah that corresponds, the Torah of that Inyan. Let's say, God forbid, a person is not dealing honestly with, God forbid, with other people in business. And he's already reached the point, Baruch Hashem, that bothers him. If they're stealing a lot of money already. But it bothers him. And he doesn't know how to get out of that. It's been a lifetime or a career of all kinds of questionable things in business. And he doesn't know how to get out of that. He's trying this, he's trying that. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says the ikir is that this Jew should take out his chayshim mishpat, and he should learn the Gemara, to learn the sugya of Hilchos Geneva, right? To learn the laws of Geneva, the Eil, and to learn, meaning in great depth, and to learn whatever other things there are in the Sfarim, and Musa Sfarim, and so on, whatever the Sfarim talk about, honesty, about the Midas HaEmes, I mean, to learn his Inyan, the Eil, in great depth. Dini Haveira Atzma, to learn all of the dinam. To learn all of the dinam of Gneiva. All of the halachas of Gneiva. It's a big inyan. Whatever else it might be. In whatever chelik of Shulchan Aruch this person has, whether it's in Shabbos, or the Inyan of Kedusha, Ben Olam Chaver, Ben Olam Mokum. There's a fellow that I met this week that he's shom Shabbos, he goes to Yeshiva, he's 20 years old. And he says that he puts on tefillin maybe twice a week. I honestly, I never heard of that in my life. I heard people that are not from don't put on film. Maybe I'm naive. He's in yeshiva. He says he puts on film twice a week. I was very shocked by that. And he said that that's 2 times more than his father puts on his film. His father davens in one of the local shuls, and he's Shomer Shabbos. He said he doesn't put on film. So I don't know. Maybe something is changing along with the other stuff that's changing. And this has to do somehow with iPods. I don't know. But, so I said, are you interested in an upgrade? Would you like to do better than that? Twice a week, 3 times a week? Would you, I mean, there are 6 days of the week to put on film. I mean, your batting average is pretty lousy. So would you like to... So he said, you know, he knows it's important. I said, it's very important. It's a big mitzvah. So what's the age? As I said, I told him exactly what Rabbi Solomon is talking about. I said, you have to sit down and you have to take out the Mishnah Berurah and you have to learn from the beginning to the end Hilchos Tefillin, to learn it Be'iyun Rav. Be'iyun Rav. And after you learn that, then we'll talk about different things in the Sfarim to learn about what Tefillin are. That's the Aleph. He doesn't understand, like, you know, he doesn't know what's the tefillin. So the first and most basic use of Torah as a refuah is lomad ba'ayis v'iyun amayk heitev dini haver asma, to learn the inyan that you're dealing with. Ha'halachi im kol se'ifa, to learn the halachi hilchos tefillin in this case of this boy. In kol seifa, with all of the seif, the entire Shulchan Aruch on Hilchos Tefillin, and that's an emergency. And if he doesn't have enough time in the day, then he'll have to put aside a little bit some other sugi that he's doing in Bav Metzia and Bav Akam. He has to know Hilchos Tefillin. He has to learn Hilchos Tefillin, and not just the halachas, to learn the halachas and to learn the inyan of Tefillin. Ki einenu haroos. We see with our own eyes, Rabbi Sol says, that many averus, that there are many averus that a person naturally stays away from. Beteva. The lo yavra aleim, af gam be'esa she'il chatzen l'za ezadava. And these averus that the person by nature avoids, even if there's some pressure on him, he won't do it. You won't do it. If somebody dangles a pastrami in front of you on Yom Kippur, you're gonna. It's not part of your tava. V'yeshnam averus, and then you find averus that could be chamuris me'elu. Then there are other averus that might be more chamur, that they might be stricter and more chamur than those that you stay so far from. And the same person is over these affairs that are more chamor, benakel, meaning doesn't seem to even bother him. So the aveira that's not so chamor, it's an aveira, but it's not as chamor, he doesn't go near. He stays away from. And the aveira that is more chomer, he's over benakel. He's over. Derek Marshall, for instance, okay, Rabbi Shaul's talking about in his time. Chela gadol me'achenu beis Yisrael, kimat rubam kekulam. He says a big chelik of our brothers, the Jewish people, in his time. Kemat rubam kekulam, almost every Jew, la yochlu bli netilas yadayim, would never eat bread without washing. La yochlu bli netilas yadayim. Chalila. Av gam ve'eis asher yir'avu v'yistaru haba, even if he's very hungry, he'll find a way to get some water and to wash. Which is a chashuva thing. Remember, it's a later takana, right? We're not talking about Kodshim, we're talking about Chulim. We're not talking about Kodshim, we're talking about Yisrael, right? It's a Choshev thing. And Rabbi Yisrael says that most Jews, even if they're hungry and it's hard, they won't eat a piece of bread without washing. But when it comes to Lashon Hara, which is much more chomer, much, much more chomer, b'nakal yavrula, it just flows from the mouth. B'nakal yavrula. Gambli taiva gedayla. Even if he doesn't have a big taiva, it's not like he was chalishing to tell over some juicy thing of Lashon Hara from a person that he can't stand, you know, that's cooking inside of him for a few days till he meets a common, you know, enemy or something, whatever. It's just, even if he doesn't have a big tithe, he'll say Lashon Hara. Which is much more chumrah than having a piece of bread without washing. And everybody knows many, many examples like this. We see each generation with its nisyonis and different people, how they are. You'll have somebody that he'd rather die than or if he would find a crumb on top of his carpet for chametz on Pesach, he feels like life is finished. But he'll go from his house and he'll walk into shul and there'll be kiddush chol moed Pesach and he'll kiss his wife, his friend's wife. And we're talking about a tiny speck of chametz that was already stepped on or whatever it is, and he was mavapled anyway 12 times until it came ready to chalamoid, right? And there was already a mechira, a metabitl, a everything, and this piece of filthy chametz is not royal achilas kelev. And if he sees it, he wouldn't be able to eat at the kiddush, at the Pesach Bikur Kiddush. He'd be so sick that he saw a crumb that's not even a tiny part of the kezayis, that was already bottle mavotel, that had on it already three types of chemicals from the cleaning and washing, whatever it is in the carpet, soap and shampoo, and he's nivel if he sees that he can't eat at the kiddush. So okay, he didn't find that today. Baruch Hashem, it was a good day, and he goes to the kiddush, and his wife and his friend's wife is there. He goes, good morning, good morning, good Shabbos. It's a wonder. And it's not even the type of gedolah. If you ask the guy, he could say that that this guy's wife is more moz than that chametz. I won't translate that. but it wasn't even he asked him, what are you, about taiva? I have a taiva for this? I don't have a taiva for it. It's just I'm polite. If you're polite, according to many Rishonim, that's a bit of Yehoyah Valyava. That politeness is Yehoyah Valyava. There's no Yehoyah Valyava in that common chametz. There's Yehoyah Valyava. And these are things that are ma'isim b'chol yom. Ma'isim b'chol yom, every day. These kind of things. Va'ata, hinen royim. So we see, ki ikka hashmira me'aver hi, rak la says as a hergel, teva itzel ha'odam. We see that somehow, a person's teva, somehow Pesach made it into that teva, right? By most Jews, or Rabbi Sosman in the Til Sidayim, it's not so posher these days either, as maybe as it was then, but Pesach for sure, Pesach made it in, Kippur made it onto the list, that those are things that became teva, so we have to figure out a way how to make all of the Isurim the teva through a certain shmira and a hergel, how to make that a teva, that as obvious and poshut as it is not to have chametz in the house on Pesach, that's how obvious and poshut it is not to do the other thing. Okay. Af im yis'ametz ha'odam halazel alechaz b'darchei ha'musa. Even if a person, we see that, even if a person tries very hard, he makes a big effort, to live a good life, to go in the way of Musa, And he tries very hard not to talk lashon hara. Tries hard not to. You know, he went to a speech, and some tragedy happened to the community, and somebody gets up and says, "This is because we're talking lashon hara." So he's very, very, very upset, and he tries not to talk lashon hara. In kol chushav rayonav kiyes, with all of his kaiches, he puts in not to talk lashon hara. B'chol zayis, nevertheless. We see this with our own eyes, that until he's able to change his teva and his habit, that teva and that hergel that he has, until he no longer has a chayfetz tivi, a natural chayfetz, a natural teva to talk lashon hara. He'll slip. He'll just slip into lashon hara much more easily. Even though he's not learning all the musaf things on the tils daim, he's not thinking about all the dinim and all the stuff and the musaf about washing their hands. It's his haragul. He says, "I don't eat without washing. I'm sorry. That's how I live." When it comes to lashon hara, he's carrying around. He's got Chavos Chaim pictures and posters, and he's got that's the thing on his computer. And he puts on his computer the Chavos Chaim, and he has on his iPod, and his iPad, and his BlackBerry, and everything has Chavos Chaim on, and he still slips, just goes right into it. It's not a hergel; it hasn't become a teva. And we see this with all types of avayus. Everything goes according to the person, the time that we're talking about, and the machayis, meaning the neighborhood, the area that the person lives, wherever the person lives. Not all neighborhoods, not all areas are the same, right? In a certain Jewish neighborhood, a community, could be that there, that the Shabbos is very, very strong. And it could be in another neighborhood, there's another Indian that's strong, and Shabbos is, God forbid, not strong. That changes. And from time to time also these things change. The problem is the same problem. But the subject of the Aveira, or the Chefs of the Aveira, is different from in different times and different places. 30, 40 years ago, it's not so long, 30, 40 years ago, in modern Orthodox neighborhoods, they would have Bekaishi, you could have four or five neighborhoods that would be serviced by one mikveh, and it wasn't busy. I'm not talking about men's mikveh. And it wasn't busy. This is not something that we're dreaming about, that maybe it used to be. This is how life was. Anybody here that's that age, which is not so many of us, knows that that's how it was. So where was everybody going to the mikveh? You tell everybody was going from Queens to Borough Park? Well, we don't have to go further than that. And Baruch Hashem, over the last couple of years, over the last 35, it's been a tremendous, tremendous change in that. It's hard to explain, it's hard to understand. And the Noam HaLamach talks about how different dairies have different nisyanis, with different mitzvahs, different aveiros, and he spoke about in his time how tzitzis was the inyan. The Noam HaLamach spoke about in his time. So how did it became such a thing in Taras Mishpacha? The mikvahs in the modern neighborhoods was simply empty. You never had to wait online. No one had to wait online. You didn't have to make appointments. And that changed in such a short time. Until it became already a hergel and a teva, that even a woman who might dress in a way that's not entirely according to halacha, but for the most part now, the girls that are coming through the system, it's a davar pasha, that's a hergel, that she goes to the mikveh, and she wouldn't think of not going to the mikveh. And somebody nowadays, maybe I'm wrong, but it seems to me that somebody nowadays that goes to even the modern Orthodox girls' schools, these places and so on, that wouldn't go to the mikveh, is considered to be mechutz. That's already odd. That's already strange. That's what it seems. It's already a hergel and a teva. That wasn't at all like that 30 years ago. Maybe 40 years or 35, 40, wasn't at all like that. Everybody in the house is a sukkah. You don't find even a modern Orthodox person that doesn't have a sukkah. I grew up in a modern Orthodox neighborhood in Queens. You can count them on two hands. There were hundreds of families, and there were maybe 10 sukkahs, 20 sukkahs. Everybody would go to the shul. They had in the shul there was a refrigerator, and there were big bags with bilkalach, with rolls, and people would make kiddush and they wash and they ate in the shul sukkah. Then they went home and they ate at home. We had a sukkah, and it was always busy with people coming over from the block. So what's the answer? The answer is there was no. It changed because they came up with prefabricated sukkahs, and they said, "Oh, now I'm going to be mekayem the mitzvah." What happened? What was going on with the mitzvah of sukkah? I'm talking about again, 40 years ago. I'm not talking about 400 years ago. 40 years ago. Well, now if you talk to a person, even if it's somebody that's not so medactic in mitzvahs, do you know somebody that wouldn't have a sukkah? We're not talking about how that happened from Shemayim, that there's such a hisoris, let's say, in the Indian of Mikvah, I gave an example of sukkah. Or you take something like covering the hair, for a woman to cover the hair. An average woman, from more of a modern background, more of a modern neighborhood, 30, 40 years ago, if you asked her about covering the hair, she said, my grandmother did. That's for Bobby Cyril. Or I understand the Chassidish women, but God bless them. But that's not. And there were big milchamas going on between that generation and the daughters that started to cover their hair. There were big milchamas. Some of them are still going on. There are a couple of last holdouts, but very, very few. Very few. Nowadays, it's a very common thing where the mother doesn't cover the hair. Hashem Yirachem. But the daughter, it's a double post that she covers her hair, and then a lot of those mothers start to cover the hair too, especially when it came time for the granddaughter to get a shidduch, so then they start to cover the hair. But years ago, and again, I'm not talking 100 years ago, a short time ago, it was kimat unheard of from that background to cover the hair, which is not very chamur ma'ayit. And a very chamur ma'ayit for a woman, for a married woman to uncover her hair is not a very chamur ma'ayit. So, certain things were able to become a hergel and a teva, that it became a natural thing. You don't have to be a big oivet Hashem these days to go to a mikveh. You don't have to be like some great heroic person that's going to put on a shaitel and the rest of the neighbors are going to throw beer cans at you. You don't have to be such a big person nowadays. You could be like a regular person. Why? It became a hergel and it became a teva. Even though there are other things in life, like Rabbi Sol gives an example of Lashon Hara, where there's improvement also, but nothing like when it comes to these, like sukkah or to the units of mikveh and so on. Says every neighborhood has its own averus. Every territory has its own averus that it specializes in. In that neighborhood, there are certain averus that it's natural for them in that area, that place, that they're not tempted by it. They're fine. And there are other things that could be even much more chamer that they're not fine with. So Rishalaslanta says, so what's the secret? How does something get onto the chart? There could be a hisarius from Shemayim. As I said, I don't know how to explain this business of sukkah. And how do you explain the inin of the mikveh? There could be some sort of a mysterious hisarius as we're going to Mashiach, and what happens with the different neshamas, the Gugulin neshamas, I don't know. But if a person sees that in his own life, and he takes an account of his life, and he sees that there's an aveira that he simply has no natural resistance to. It's not one of those things that's on his list. It's not on his list. And therefore he's either struggling with it and failing, or he doesn't even struggle with it. He just does it, the aveira. So there's only one avaida. Rabbi Sol Salanter says there's one avaida. You could wait that there should be something from Shemaim that'll help you. That's not an avaida. Davening is very, very good. But the ikar avaida, Rabbi Sol Salanter says, is through constant learning in depth and chazering that in and learning it properly. It can become your second nature. That's not just by going to one class and hearing a lecture on that subject. It's yourself learning it. Bi'iyun Rav. To learn it, Bi'iyun Rav. Okay, you have this thing now that became the Amen. The ladies have this Amen thing. It started a few years ago. And I think it must have trickled over to some of the guys also. Is there anybody in his right mind would say that that's like one of the yesodis of all of Taurus Moshe, the answer Amen after Brach? You would think from these groups that's as big as Maimon HaSinai, to answer Amen. And that everything that is wrong in the world is because people don't answer Amen. And they have managed to work with people who have dug up enough Mamar Chazal to create that sense that if we say Amen, the world will be saved, and if we don't say Amen, the world's going to be destroyed. Do you think that Amen is as big as Shabbos? Do you think that a lady that answers 100 Amens in a day is anywhere as near as her covering her elbow or her head? And that the Baruch Hashem wouldn't be Michael on 10,000 of her Amens, that her elbow should be covered? I'm sorry to talk this way. We're in a small little chevra. And I don't know who's going to listen to this, and they should be Michael if they're insulted. No, if a woman starts to cover her hair, then we could all say, Amen! And we'll start a new ladies' Amen group for covering the hair, and then all the other ladies will say, when she puts on her shekel, Amen! But look how it is. So here you have these tzadkanis. And I'm not making fun of it. Chas v'chalila, I think it's a very chashuv thing. I went to speak to them a few times. I'm not saying it in leitzanis. I'm only showing how when a person takes one inyan in Torah, and it could be a tiny little piece of Torah, and he learns it, because that's what they've done. And you learn it, because Amen's a chashuv thing, a big, big and holy thing, what the Zohar says about Amen. And what Chazal say about Amen. It is a big thing. You can't compare it to covering the hair, or to keeping Shabbos, but not talking Lashon Hara, right? But it's a chashuv thing. But they took this, why, how did that happen? Usually it started from one chashuv rabbitson, or some tragedy, whatever. And it became a big thing. And then they learned the sugi of Amen. And they had people came and taught them about Amen. Then their books that come out in English and in Yiddish on the subject of Amen. And now we have this thing where we have these holy women that they're going around saying Amen. And if anybody in the house is saying a bracha quietly, then this lady who, with other things of her life, could be over chamuris and kalis and chamuris, I'm sorry to say. But if her kid doesn't say the bracha out loud, she can't say Amen, she feels that her entire home has been violated. Even though she's walking around in short sleeves with her hair uncovered. And I'm not putting her down for doing that. All of us have our own aveiros, and all of us have to do tshuva. That's not my point. But the point is that any time that a person takes upon himself, however it got started, again with the Amen, whatever it is, and a person, let's say it would be with Muktzah. You have people, they're moving Muktzah around like this and like that. If a person, when it comes to Shabbos, people that they think that they'll take out from the refrigerator, put in liquids, solids, hot, burning hot, this kind of thing, on Shabbos. And they heard, you know, maybe you shouldn't take a soup out and put it onto a blach, you know, maybe there's such a thing. They heard, maybe it's just for very from people. How do we change these things? Tzivis Elsalat was saying that the Ikka Hashmir and what he calls Ahanizgiva Ikka Bishimish Rufus Atar Latachlue Hayetzer Hu is to learn that Inyan Bi'iyun Rav, to learn it consistently and in great depth. That till it becomes part of your teva, becomes part of your nature. Therefore, the basic yisod foundation and the pillar that is strong and steady. Lachinis atzma l'shmir ma'averus v'asiyas ha-mitzvos, to ready oneself, to prepare oneself, to guard himself against all averus, and to do all mitzvahs. Hurak halimud harav b'halacha zu is learning this halacha consistently and in depth. Our generation has this chiyah, Bo Hashem, where a person who wants to learn can learn. There's swarmer in English, and you can hear on tape, and whatever, there's so much to do. Otherwise, even if you'll hear a Shia, and the Maggid Shia is going to scream, this is a big Aveira, this is terrible, terrible, terrible Aveira, Yidin Tshuva, you'll have his Zairas, you'll have it, say, his Rakshas, and it might last a little bit, and then it goes away. Because then you feel like, well, it's been 2 months since anybody died in the community, Bo Hashem, so I guess it's okay. Unless there's consistent and thorough learning in that area that you're weak, I know it's hard to pick, everybody, each one of us could think of so many things, but okay, everybody has... you know, his list. But without that, he says, it's not going to work. Hurak halimud harav b'alocha zu, hanagas la'aveir zu, olamitzvah zu. That's not that inyan. That aveir, that mitzvah. U'befrat bi'iyun. And it has to be learned bi'iyun. Again, not just listening while you're driving the car to listen to a tape once. It has to be bi'iyun, to learn it in depth, to learn it carefully, to learn it thoroughly. Hadei keitev. Ki zeh halimud oisek kinyin chazek benefesh. Because that learning, that limud, over time, you knock away at it, and you really work at it, that can create a kinyan b'nefesh, that makes a certain hergel. If a person would sit and learn Hilchos Muktzah for an entire year with the Rishonim, the Gemaras, and the Rishonim, and Tur and Shulchan Aruch, and he has a chavrus, and he sits, and he really harvests over Hilchos Muktzah, he's going to have a different way in the house on Shabbos. Sure. It's not going to be that, no, Muktzah. Same thing when it comes to Hilchos Lashon Hara, when it comes to Hilchos Genev and Gezeila. We're talking about a person that's sincere, obviously, he wants that. You can have somebody that's so disconnected, he could be sitting the whole Yom Lichash Mishpat, and he's sitting with somebody else's Shulchan Aruch that he stole, you understand? He's so disconnected. We're not talking about a person like that. We're just talking about an honest and Elicha person that wants to be good. But he doesn't know what to do. He has problems. Someone that's just... totally, you know, in it for the interest of learning because he likes to learn, and it has nothing to do with Avodas Hashem, it has nothing to do with being Shem Mitzvahs, so it makes no difference what he learns. He could sit and learn Hilchos Muktzah from Haim Pesach, and he's going to be moving Muktzah on Shabbos. It doesn't make a difference. You can have a person that could sit and learn, the laws of fasting in Yom Kippur, on Yom Kippur, while his head is uncovered, and he's sitting with a piece of treif, and he didn't make a brach, and never answered Amen, and he's eating on Yom Kippur. But he's sitting there and he's learning in Masechta Yuma. It's interesting. I'm saying that, Moshe, because there was a famous professor of Kabbalah in Yerushalayim who said that on radio, on public radio in Eretz Yisrael, about some of the, how he wrote some of his best pieces on Kabbalah that he wrote on Yom Kippur while his head was uncovered and he was eating. He wrote on Kabbalah. He's a famous professor and he wrote books on Kabbalah. He said some of my finest, he said on radio, some of my finest pieces are written on Yom Kippur with my head uncovered while I was eating. He said that to the whole world. And everybody in every everywhere they study Jewish mysticism, he's the Reish. He's the head person, the main person. That's how he was studying Kabbalah. So when you have something like that, here a man spending his whole life is learning Kabbalah. The man wrote I don't know how many, 40, 50 books, articles he wrote on Kabbalah. He taught the Indian for 50, 60 years. And he says he eats on Yom Kippur. Maybe he made a late sonnet of it. I don't know if he eats on Yom Kippur. I mean, he said that. Maybe he was just saying that. I hope he was just saying something like that. But it's not a nice thing to say. And if he said that, it means something's wrong. And he certainly was not a Shema Mitzvah. Is that for sure not? So how does a person learn Kabbalah for all those years and is not in Kabbalah all Mitzvahs? So there is such a thing with this, such a disconnect that makes no difference how much you learn something. If you're not learning it to become better, but Rabbi Sosalant is not talking about such a Jew. Rabbi Sosalant is talking about people like us that are trying to become better. So this is the Iker, Rabbi Sol says. He says, Kadayma, right? Until that affair is far away from you, it becomes your second nature, becomes far away from you. Kadayma, similarly, b'mechuzayseinu elu, here in our neighborhood, where we live, in our area, tehillah lekel, praise Hashem, yisurin avel z'treifes, v'dayimeyem, mutboyim b'nafshes y'israeli. It's the nature of Jewish people where we live. He's talking about there are people here that we're not from, but it's the teva of Jews over here, not the treif. Ada shelo yitzarach shum ish lekayv tivay v'tavosel sarachem akem. Then nobody has to struggle with his yitzahara to overcome the taiva to treif. Kehema loyelazar, because it's totally foreign and disgusting to even a Jew who's otherwise not careful with mitzvahs. He's not going to eat treif. He says, and out where we live. He said, it would never ever chalila come into the heart of one butcher. List rapes melidresh etzal amarit said to be lazy or negligent to go into esker rav shaila. The motzai shum dover, if he finds something wrong, something that looks funny in the meat. It would never cross the mind of one Jewish butcher, he says, not to go into esker shaila. Sheishbach shash treifus bevar ma'pnimim, even though this guy could be over all kinds of avarice, God forbid, and other things. But it would never, even if it would never enter his mind, if there's the slightest, tiniest little chash of a spot over here on the lung that could be a treif, there's the chash that he wouldn't, if the slightest chash that he goes to Esther Rav. And Hayer saw the farmer binyan kazeh, even if he can lose a lot of money and he has to throw the whole animal out. Marishamayim olav, this fear of heaven, as far as treifus is concerned, is betivai v'hergelai. This is just the teva and the hergel. Where? From his parents, from wherever it is. It's a hergel. Chalil olam yiresha, lahakshal yisrael, he would never do an evil thing to be makshal, God forbid, to cause other Jews to eat treif. Ulam, however, Bavanasen Harabim, he's talking about in his neighborhood, in his country, without many sins. When it comes to business, it's the opposite. When it comes to money, it's the opposite. Roiv ben Yodam, lo yidushu al chash gezel for Eishik me'atzman. Most people on their own are not so particular when it comes to a chash of gezel, of stealing, or in any other way, any other aveir when it comes to Gezel Oishik not paying, or whatever it might be, what he owes. he won't go looking to do what's right and to ask, do I need to do this? Unless the guy comes and is tevei him and says, hey, what do you think you're doing? You owe me this money. You have to go do the entire. Like I mentioned many times, that someone told me that Diane Fisher, Zechar Livracha from Yerushalayim, the Diane of Yerushalayim, that he once, because they used to line up by Diane Fisher before Sukkot, already a few weeks before Sukkot, there were already long lines coming to show him their sraigim. And how Diane Fisher said, it's funny, nobody ever came to show me his shkolim. They always come to show me their sraigim. If there's any spot on the esrog, they want to know. But on their shkolim, they don't come to ask me. He said, I know Chashon Mishpat. They don't come to ask me that. They only come to ask me about their sraigim. So Rabbi Sosalant is telling you, see, it's not a new problem. He says, if someone comes and tainas, you owe me money, then, he'll look into it, he'll talk about it, maybe, then he'll pay you. It's not like he's going around being nervous. Maybe there's a distant chashash. So maybe I was over something that was found in a shach, that I didn't keep 100%. And I owe this guy $10. V'heim asher gam achra ha-tviyah. Not only that. Even after the Reuven comes to Shimon and says, you owe me money. Yasa tachbulas mir mahayoyz. He could come up with all kinds of stories and excuses and play games and be dishonest and even have a chutzpah. I don't know, you get out of here. So how could this be? I like the Torah. How called Shavu? What's the difference between an esrog and a shekel? What do you mean? It says the same Torah that says not to treif says not to steal. Everything's the same. It's Torah Hashem. Talk about deraisis, whatever. That's a loy sesi. This is a negative commandment. This is a negative commandment. Kshiinin ha-Torah mishpatera, according to the laws of the Torah. Ubasa besada treif le-sechelu says you can't eat treif. Le-sechel kanivela. But it also says le-sashik is reach le-sigzol. They're both Yisurim and the Torah mideraisa. But they may, and there are many other similar examples we can give. The way that it's hutba, that is the teva of a Jewish soul, should culminate treif is shavim etzlo. That every treif, whatever is treif, he's not going to eat, and he's not going to give to another Jew to eat. Doesn't make a difference. All the ins and outs of Yerodeya. Doesn't make, he doesn't care. It's treif, I'm not eating it. I'm throwing it out. And if the Rav passing him that is treifa, Merucha Getzloi, he keeps away from it. Uchatari Yasni, he does according to what the Torah says. Kein b'mamon. Should be the same thing with money. Anything that according to the Torah belongs to the other guy, have a gezel. It means you're a thief. And you're over on the sigzel. V'nachnu royim shabavan esen harabim. And we see, with our many sins, afilu haloimdim, even people know how to learn. Afilu haloimdim, ukimat gam hayireyim. And even he says, by kimat, also by some who are God-fearing Jews. Einim nizharim ki yeyes b'lay se'esei hazu, are not careful in the way they should be. With this lay-sasei of lay-sigzo. Of stealing. Of not stealing. Look, right now, it's pretty cold day. It's colder. It's even colder if you travel up to Otisville, New York. And they have, this morning, it was a Shein Minyan with Sliches. I'm talking about the federal prison. Not 1 minyan. And not 2 minyan. They're more than that. Shein Yidden. Some of them have beards and payas, some of them don't. They all walk around over there with Gemaras. I was there, I went to visit. I was never an inmate, Baruch Hashem, but I visited. Gemaras everywhere. Chavrusas, Gemaras, Shiurim. When I was there, before the summer I was there, and there was a Yid that came over to say hello to me. I don't know who he was. So the fellow that I went to see told me,
I didn't ask him. I just asked him for the guy's name. Who is his name? So he said to me that this is one of the guys that was he knows how to learn a lot, and unfortunately he was paskin that he was guilty of stealing $80 million. $80 million, that's a shavar pruta. So maybe it's not true and it wasn't $80 million, but that was paskin on the guy, and he's in there for a long haul. And he was walking, he was holding a gemara when he came to say hello to me. So how could it be? There are certain affairs that even Yom Kippur and even Misa is not mechaper, and the person who is in other things is so careful, but in this, he's not. That's what Yisrael, that's what we're talking about. So Yisrael says that the way to get that out of our systems, the aleph of making, of creating in our lives a hergel and a shmir and a teva, is by limud bi'iyun, that particular thing. We'll finish the piece next week.